Sometimes you got to be reminded, man, the just shall live by faith. I mean, all this junk going on down here, like God can't do anything. And the devil just got the center stage, and everything he wants to do, he carries out, and everybody is subject to the devil's will. That's a lie. You know, if we believe and we separate from everything that's defiling belief, we can overcome anything. Faith can conquer anything, because faith is not some power that you mysteriously use. Faith is the presence of a being. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the belief of God. That's what overcomes. See, it's not just you trying to muster up the energy to try to believe it yourself. Faith is a grown fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. One of the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of faith, believing. So faith has to be nurtured, matured, and grown. Excuse me. And faith through growth cycles is tried. The Bible calls it a trial of your faith. It's as if some strange thing happened to you. The reason why it's being tested, because it's growing. It's an ever-increasing faith that grows as it's tried. So, you know, God lets you know where you are and what you really believe based on your trials and what you overcome. You'll see that, hey, that didn't impact me that time. It didn't, you know, what they used to say used to bother me. Now it doesn't bother me. You've grown. He's showing you you're growing. You got to grow in grace and grow in belief in order to conquer and overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This thing is real. But the devil has embedded all these mechanisms to deter it by distractions and junk and all this stuff you look at. It's bombarding your mind. So you got to make a logical decision to cut off what's undermining my faith. The Bible says the cares of this world can choke off the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. And that's the nine fruit it's supposed to develop. The cares of this world can choke off that word, and it won't produce fruit because you cared about the world. So that tells me I got to ignore the world, ignore the news, ignore everything they're saying, and meditate on the word by day and night. He says, in meditating that word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and you'll bring forth what? Your fruit in your season. It's the word. He has given us what we need to overcome the world. And to overcome it, you got to meditate in this word day and night. Find mechanisms that force your mind to meditate on it. Make your mind meditate on the Bible. That's the overcoming power. All right, we'll get into this real fast. We wanted to show you Hinton again. That's a flashback. Hinton died, I think, either last year or year before last. Hinton is dead and gone on. But one thing about Hinton, he was an old Pentecostal preacher. But he was like a living Bible. Hinton interspersed the Bible in messages, and he was just running on Bible. It was just like he could have whole passages of the Bible just flowing out of him. And I don't even think he was even conscious of it. I mean, he didn't just remember stuff. It had become him. He was just flowing out of him. And boy, if you got any kind of doldrums, and you were downtrodden, or you got any kind of depression on you, or any anxiety, Hinton. I go back to the old landmarks in my life. I go back to Hinton, Shambach, and guys like that. So you want to recharge batteries, you better find yourself a battery charger. You need some guys that just take you over to that next realm. And see, that's what we don't have. Now, we got too much intellectual stuff. You can be too intellectual and too academic in this until you lose firepower. You just know a lot of stuff. You've got a lot of books you've read. Now you've got a library of information, but you don't have any firepower. The devil's going to flinch and draw back from firepower, not just what you know, but who you become, what kind of power's in you. That's what you got to seek after. You want to have that word baptized in the Spirit. Dip the word in the Spirit, and then you got some heat. But if it's just word and information without the Holy Ghost, you got nothing. So today we're talking about a dagger in the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, a dagger in the heart. A dagger right through the heart. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the name John, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Notice how this is the baptism unto repentance. You have to do what? Acknowledge and verbally confess your sins. This is the realm of repentant baptism, where I'm not coming in here trying to be self-righteous, talking about how good I am, and going through a ritual of baptism. You know, most people do a baptism as a ritual. I've asked people, are you saved? They say, I've been baptized. Yeah. What is that? And then after they've been saved, you say, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost? They say, yeah, I was water baptized 5 years ago. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, they believe it's water baptism. See, people don't have any knowledge. They have no idea what's going on. They go through water baptism as a ritual, never having repented of their sins. And so folks really tell you, do a surface ritual to be saved. They never talk about what it's really about, what it means, what you have to do as far as turning away from what you were to become what God wants you to be. They do a ritual. The whole family is a good Baptist, and all have been water baptized, and their names are on the church roll, but they're not written in heaven. You have to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not on First Baptist Church roll. That's what people are banking on for going to heaven. They think they've joined this institution. They did the rituals. Now that's all that's necessary. I followed the format you gave me. I don't know Jesus. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. But I'm church. I'm doing church. I'm churching. On Sunday, I do my churching. On Saturday night, I do my partying. It's just a check off on another box. It don't mean anything to them. And God has become like an institution, or just a membership in a club. It's sad to watch this. And the only hope we have now is for somebody to get a dip in that fire baptism and to come on the scene with so much firepower that it creates a massive light in the midst of darkness. We got to have a church inflamed again. That's what's missing. We don't have an inflamed, ignited church to go to be a witness before these lost folks. So they were baptized, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now here come the religious folks now. Here come all the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that God has nothing to do with. All these jokers in pulpits telling lies. Here they come down to the baptism. A religious thing is happening in their point of view. So let me go and be a part, and let me honor the place with my presence. They were coming in as dignitaries. Oh, everybody, oh, there come the Pharisees and Sadducees, y'all. Everybody part now. Let them come through. And then the Baptist turns around and says, you dirty, low-down vipers. A generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Bring forth evidence that you have repented. And think not to say within yourselves. Now look, he's reading their minds now. Don't say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. Because they were banking everything on being the offspring of Abraham. See, I'm righteous because Abraham was my father, as if that qualified you. He said, don't think about saying Abraham is your father, man. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto what? The root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit, he's after the fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So you see now, there's another baptism. The water baptism is baptism unto repentance, but the Holy Ghost baptism is the baptism unto demonstration. One is turning away, one is manifesting you on the outside to the world. We need the baptism of Holy Ghost power and fire again. We got to have the church dip back in the Holy Ghost to manifest Christ. That's what's missing. But before we can see that baptism of the Holy Ghost take place, everything that is in the way has to have a dagger driven through the heart of it. It has to be put to death. You have to kill one thing to see the Holy Ghost body rise up out of the ashes. You got to totally exterminate that which is against God to see what God desires to come forth. So you got to have a dagger driven through the heart of the enemy of God. Now, first of all, you got to process this one fact. You got to get this totally clear in your mind. And you got to say this with confidence and know this no matter what anybody tells you. There is no church on earth recognized by God except the Pentecostal church. You got to know that. And see, the brainwashing is Pentecostal churches are a denomination. See, that's what people hear when I say that. Oh, you mean to tell me the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians are not valid? Only Pentecostal people? See, you missed it by 1,000 miles. The only church you see manifest in the Bible is the church birthed at Pentecost. Show me another church outside of the Pentecostal church. That's the only one that God gave any significance to. That's the only one he ordained and set forth.
That's right.
There is no church on earth other than the Pentecostal church. Folks are going to splice that out. I know it. Put it on YouTube and say that I said on the Pentecostal denomination is the church. Because they just made it into a denomination. God doesn't see the church that came alive at the Holy Ghost baptism as the denomination. That's his life imparted to the people he chose. The only valid church is a Pentecostal fire baptized church. Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And the Bible says they came out different and they spake as the Spirit gave the utterance to the degree the people thought they were drunk. That's Holy Ghost baptism, man. That's another thing. That's something else manifesting itself. That didn't come from earth. That came from heaven. The church has to be baptized and filled from heaven because Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he baptizes from heaven, not from earth. Water baptism is man to man on the earth level. But the Holy Ghost baptism has to be released from heaven and coming over you. So you got to be baptized on earth horizontally, man to man in water. But then the Holy Ghost power comes down upon you from heaven. It's a Holy Ghost baptism, not from this world. That's what transcends this time and space arena and lifts you up to another kind of a being where you see life differently now. I don't care what you say. Holy Ghost baptized folk are different from other people. Now, some people will have heard me say they're better than other people. That's not what I said. I didn't say they were better, but they're different. They're different. A Holy Ghost filled preacher is different than an academic preacher. Hinton was just preaching on the inspiration. I don't care how much he tunes up, I don't care how much tone inflection he uses. That guy was a Gatling gun full of the word. See, that's going to hit you. That's not going to impact your head. That's going to hit you right in your belly. And you're going to feel that thing begin to stir up on the inside of you because it didn't come from earth. See, that's what you need. That's the way Schambach was. That's the way Burke Clendenin was. All these guys, like David Wilkerson, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. These guys didn't preach from head knowledge. Some of these guys were studious guys who came from seminary. But then God dipped all that seminary training in the Holy Ghost. And that's what gave them power. That's the power now that you feel ebbing up out of somebody's inner man when they've got the Holy Ghost embedded in them and not just head knowledge. Head knowledge will only take you just so far with the devil. Because the devil don't succumb to head knowledge. The devil respects power. The only thing the devil's going to be moved by is if you have more power than him. He's going to step up to challenge you to see, do you have any power? He's going to evaluate, have you spending the time with the Lord? Remember when they came out, the disciples came out? They said they are just like Jesus. And they took thought that they had spent time with Jesus. They're just like him. They're a replication of Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is going to respect. He's not going to respect a bunch of stuff you know. Why? Because he knows more than you. Think about what I'm saying. You got a cherubim angel been around for eons, and you're trying to know more than the devil. You try to argue with the devil based on history or knowledge or some kind of academic science. That joker going to walk up the front of you and down the back of you. Come with a mathematical problem and ask the devil to solve it. While you're still trying to pull out your calculator, that joker writing down the answer and hand you the paper back. You can't fool around the devil based on knowledge. You see how stupid this is? Now what happens when you got a lot of knowledge? You spend your time debating other people. You watch them. It's all they do, go back and forth with each other trying to prove what? I know more than you. So the Bible tells you knowledge will do what? Puff you up, make you proud. But the love of God, which is Holy Ghost power, will edify people. It'll make you grow in grace and bring you alive to God. It'll make you thrive inside. You'll feel the living water of God beginning to churn in you because that power of the Holy Ghost is interacting with the inner man. But watch how many people back away from that. Think about what I'm saying. Look at how many people will opt for head knowledge and information over the Holy Ghost. Why? Because if the Holy Ghost comes to me, he's going to come for one reason, to crucify me. I know instinctively if I yield to the Holy Ghost, my life on earth is over because he's going to manifest and magnify Jesus Christ in me at my expense. So since I don't want to let Christ live, I got to get out from around the Holy Ghost because I know that no flesh is going to glory in God's presence. The Holy Ghost is only going to magnify Jesus. So that means I have to do what? Decrease, John the Baptist said, to allow Christ to increase. I know that instinctively. I don't want to decrease. I want to express myself. I want to still be somebody. I still want to be seen. I still want to be noticed. So therefore, I'm not getting around anywhere where the Holy Ghost can interact with me. That's why people back away from it. It's all about pride, self-gratification, self-exaltation, and self-glorification. It's all logical now. It's not some mystery. So for the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you, what has to happen? You have to do what Romans 12:1 told you to do. He says to present your body as a living sacrifice. That means I got to take my body in a logical way and just sacrifice it up to God. And every offering made to God is always a burnt offering. If you put it on the altar, he's going to consume it and burn it up. God's a consuming fire. He's going to take your body, bathe it in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, and consume the sacrifice. So there's no more you left. The only barrier you got between you and God is self. It ain't the devil. It's self. So God has to consume self. He has to put a dagger into the heart of self. Remember when Abraham was offering up Isaac, what's the first thing he raised up over him? A dagger. And the quickest way to get rid of the boy is to plunge the dagger into his heart. Now he's fit to be offered up. See, that the sacrifice got to be killed first, then offered up as a burnt offering. So we've got to put a dagger into the heart of that selfish man in all of us that has to be eliminated and exterminated. Now, self comes in a billion different variations. You have to individually determine what's yourself. What is it in you that's standing up still living that you got to deal with personally? Because everybody got a different variation of it. You got to know you and you got to know where the barrier is that it prevents you from operating the full potential God has set aside for you. Everybody's called with a holy calling and a destiny already in the call. See, when God saved you, you got a destiny preordained for you already. Whom he foreknew, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his son. And then your life is already pre-planned and already designed by God. Notice how people get off into sidetracks in their life because they won't follow God's plan. A lot of folks should have been married, living in the suburbs, and just relaxing. But they went on out there and partied, and they infringed upon their lives by decades. They cost themselves decades of living because they wouldn't just yield to God at 18. If I'd have come to God when I was 17, I would have avoided a whole section of my life. But I didn't. So I had to go through 20 years of hell because I chose not to yield back on August 3rd, 1973. When he came to me, I said no. So now for 40 years, I got to live through hell. I'm missing an eye because my first husband punched me in the eye. You know, it's a glass eye I'm wearing. Because I was supposed to marry that guy back in 1973, but I went for that slick-talking drug pusher and got with him. And one night he punched me in the eye when he was drunk. And now I got a glass eye. You didn't have to have that glass eye. But what happened? God says, I came to you and you would not. You willed not to yield to me. Therefore, your houses are left unto you destitute. See, it's a day appointed for every man. If you bypass your appointment when God comes to see you, you can watch your life take a direction that God never planned. He never wanted you to go that route. He never wanted to see you go through it. But hey, you chose not to listen. Now, he'll double back, and if you yield, he'll fix you. He'll fix it. But some things won't be gotten rid of. Because you can't get rid of organic stuff that you actually sown and you created. You know, I might have to come to God with herpes. There's no guarantee he'll heal me. I might have to come to God with AIDS and die of AIDS. Because I didn't listen 8-10 years ago when I could have avoided AIDS. That next sexual partner gave me AIDS that he tried to stop me from going to. Now I got the AIDS. Now I came to the Lord weighing 65 pounds on my deathbed because I wouldn't listen. But all I can tell you now is die saved. Amen. See, some people, the best you can do as far as counsel to them is die saved. Yeah. Your life was cut short at 38 years old because of your choices. Die saved, man. Ain't nothing I can do for you. If God don't unction nobody to save you and use a gift of healings to raise you up again, stay faithful, die saved. Sing Zion songs in the hospital weighing 65 pounds and rot away, but sing, leave him singing Zion songs. Yes, that's right. Sounds pitiful, don't it? Sounds bad. Yeah. It's the way it is. That's reality, buddy. You reap what you sow. And there's no guarantee, I don't care how much people talk about faith and healing and the gifts, that God is going to do anything about it. You cannot guarantee anybody anything in this. He can intervene at his discretion. God is a sovereign God. Like the prophet told old Samuel, Eli, he says, the Lord, he'll do as he pleases. You better realize you're dealing with a God now. You're not dealing with a man. So the only church down here is a Pentecostal, fire baptized, Holy Ghost church. That's it. Everything else is garbage. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to wonder. Don't try to analyze it. When somebody's up somewhere preaching without the Holy Ghost, you got dead letter flowing out of a vessel that don't know God totally because they're not yielded to him. We've made all kinds of exceptions over the years. Like, well, you know, the Lord's still working and that's your brother in the Lord and all that. Look. You don't have time to fool around with this now. You got to get narrow-minded about this now. Somebody denying the Holy Ghost, like John MacArthur or Charles Stanley, I don't have time to analyze you, bro. Because the only name this servant given for us to make it back in is the Holy Ghost. And you telling me I don't need the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues of the devil and the gifts of the Spirit have ceased? Not me, man. I'm not going with a lie. And giving a person a pass. Stop giving people a pass. This is your eternal destiny. Read the Bible. The church was birthed in the fire of Pentecost. It lives in the fire of Pentecost. It will be extracted from this planet in the fire of Pentecost. Amen. See it? How do you think you get to without spot, blemish, nor wrinkle? Jesus. He's burning off the dross. He's perfecting it by fire. Fire is a purifier. He's purifying the church through the fire baptism until he got a church without spot, blemish, nor wrinkle. Now you got a perfected church. I mean, think about how the church has got to be to leave here for real. No spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. Look at how the church will really have to be for us to be lifted out of here. There won't be any mistakes made. There won't be any exceptions made. He's going to do exactly what he said. I'm going to have myself a perfected church that's purified, faithful, and no idolatry is present in it. That's what's going on. And the only church down here is Pentecostal. Remove the denominational name from your mind. Charismatic. You know, a charismatic is a person that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. Get all those names and all those impugning labels off of the church. Because they take extreme nutcases and try to tell you, see, that's Pentecostal there. That's charismatic. That's that kundalini force that's got them shaking and all that junk. That's what man says about it. You see the Holy Ghost, you get filled, and you demonstrate Jesus, and you get to know him for yourself. There's nothing else down here but the church birthed at Pentecost. That's it. If you name it Pentecostal, it means it was born at Pentecost. Has nothing to do with a denomination. Get denominational thinking out of your mind. There are no denominations in Christ. The church is outlined in Ephesians chapter 4. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, one Holy Ghost, one of everything. And you got all these denominations which are all man-made and divisive, designed to divide up folks so they can have money made from that group they made exclusive. The Bible says they seek to exclude you. And that's where denominations come from. We got to make money from our little group. We got to have our little belief systems that we make germane only to us. And everybody not like us is not a Christian, really. They're really not even saved, because the Lutherans are the real. See, you can go on with that forever. You better let your mind expand and understand there's only one God, one Jesus, one Holy Ghost. And he came. Jesus came to deliver us to receive the Holy Ghost. That's it. And the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. Therefore, the church is Pentecostal. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You've got people who don't speak in tongues who hate people that speak in tongues. You're the devil for speaking in tongues. They take something out of the Bible and make it the devil. That's bad, man. Because now you begin to speak against what the Holy Ghost does. You better be careful about opening your mouth about stuff ignorantly that you don't understand. If you don't know anything about it, leave it alone before you fool around and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And you end up damned because of your ignorance. Shut your mouth thinking you're intellectual, because you're going to become an educated fool. Don't become an educated fool when you got a seminary degree from a Baptist seminary and you think you know something now because of what Charles Stanley or John MacArthur wrote. They use a lot of John MacArthur material in seminaries and stuff like that. And he's a cessationist that believes the Holy Ghost gifts have gone away. That's terrifying, man. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. If you don't understand things that are spiritual, leave them alone. The right balance is the intellectualism of God imparted through his word, that's teaching. But you got to take all that information and intellectual knowledge and dip it in the Holy Ghost for power. That keeps you balanced. See, you don't know things according to just information with no demonstration. Because information without demonstration is going to be legalism. You're going to be just heavy with a bunch of knowledge. But demonstration without information is spiritism. See, that's where the streams come from. That's what people tell you is the Holy Ghost in the streams. You see a bunch of jumping around, shouting and dancing and feet smoking from dancing, the carpet in flames, the carpet on fire from them just doing holy dances all day, and the guitar just playing, and the bass just boom, 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 and don't know nothing about the word, no balance as far as the scripture, hadn't been taught anything, but they just want to have a bunch of hoopla and junk going on all the time, talking about the spirit got a hold of me. And that's nothing but spiritism. Now, a demon going to show up, and you're going to have a false tongues spoken in, and they're going to be blabbering in tongues and cutting the fool. Those are the ones that break into a sentence structure, mid-sentence, and start talking in tongues. And oh, ha-mushamba, and ha-shuba, oh, hallelujah, sha-ba-ba-ba-hunda, and the Lord would have you to know, sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-hunda-ha. Come on, man. Why are you doing that? The spirit got a hold of me. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. The spirit can't make you do that. That's right. The Bible said you come in there and somebody doing that, they're going to think you crazy. That's what the Bible says. Like I do when I see it. I think you're crazy. Why was the Holy Ghost talking in tongues and nobody understanding what you're saying? Exactly. What is it getting out? But it's making people who are ignorant. See, when you got a spiritism type environment, most times you're going to find abject ignorance bathed in the place. There's a lot of ignorant people who like a bunch of emotional stuff, and they do a bunch of ignorant stuff, and you get people with college degrees and educated people sitting in that knowing it's ignorant, but they don't want to be seen as not being spiritual, so they just go along with the flow of it. And all the time you're sitting there knowing this sure is stupid, but you don't want to say it out loud because you want to fit in. It's intellectual academic structure in God, bathed in the spirit. So it's not going to be some out of control lunatic friends junk going on. I see a guy on the internet now, the whole church is running around the church, dancing through the church. They take an offering, everybody just, woo, whoopee, woo, woo. And people think that's being deep and spiritual. They look like a bunch of nuts. And he always on the internet preaching, teaching every two minutes. Yes, and I was thinking that the Lord would have us to know that. And then you go to see the church serving, it's like a bunch of kooks. Man, that's spiritism. These folks have been bathed in a spirit that ain't holy and it's demonic. And I've seen a lot of people lose their minds over the years in church because they didn't come by the way of Jesus Christ. They came trying to belong to a stupid spiritualist church, trying to get some kind of a Holy Ghost that ain't real. He tells you it's another gospel. There's another Jesus, and that Jesus will impart another spirit. But that don't make me back away from this one inch. Why? Because I read the Bible. I know what it says. I'm not running from anything spiritual because there's a lot of spiritual stuff down here. That don't bother me at all. You know when you're in front of a kook. So you can say, have somebody talking to Jesus on them, but you know when it's stupid, though. He's talking in tongues, doing all that junk he's doing. He can be raising the dead, but he's a kook. You got to know what this Bible, the Bible is an anchor. So you're not going to go into deception. You got to know what this Bible says. You got to know the person that wrote it. You got to spend time with the Lord to get your mind reformatted to understand his ways. Remember, the Bible says the people in Israel, they knew God from what he did. But it says Moses knew his ways. You got to know God's ways. I can tell a person that ain't the Lord because they ain't like the Lord. Well, you see the miracles, man. You see he grew an arm out. I said, no, that ain't the Lord, though. But man, did you see the power? Did you see the miracle? Did you? It's lying among us down here, bro. You got to deal with character. You got to deal with the presence of God, that the knowledge of how God is, his ways, how God acts and interacts with people. God don't act like that. That ain't God, man. That's not God's personality. See, those are the nuances that you can't be taught. You've got to know him for real now. You can't fake in this. You got to really know him. You don't get drawn off to the mega fest because you know God. God ain't got no Tyler Perry laying hands on a drag queen, yelling out in tongues and knocking nobody out. That's not paralleling God's nature. Then you tell somebody that they get mad at you. You're judging. Who are you to say? Okay, you got to know God's nature through the Bible. If he told you not to wear a woman's garments and you got them on, that ain't God. I told a guy not too long ago talking about homosexuality. I said, I love homosexuals. They don't bother me at all. I said, it's nothing personal with me. The Bible says it's an abomination. Therefore it is. I mean, I can be around a homosexual, talk to them, laugh with them, eat dinner with them, whatever. But you're an abomination, bro. It's not personal to me. See, I don't have any personal feelings about somebody's sin. Because people don't sin against me or you. They sin against God. So when they ask you, what do you think about it? I don't think about it. I'll tell you what I know God's word says about it. I don't feel about it and I don't think about it. Here's what the Bible says about it. Well, I don't believe that. That's on you, bro. I leave you with it right there. If you don't believe it and accept what God says about you, then die like that and see what happens to you. That's the best anybody can do. When you're out here dealing with the gospel, you can't have personal feelings appended to it. You can't get emotional about it and wrapped up in a person's response to what you said or trying to convince them. See, all that right there is flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
It's generic truth given to all mankind equally. You accept it or you reject it. But when you get personal about it, you're in the wrong realm. You're in the wrong realm. I tell my own kids, it's not personal. Here's the word of God. Here's what it says. What you do about it is your business. You respond negative to it, you pay the price yourself. And you will pay a price. I told them. I don't feel anything about it. Price, you're inhuman. I'm not inhuman. I'm normal. Because I'm not God. And I don't feel responsibility for things I'm not responsible for. I'm not responsible for that. I stay in my lane with God. He called me to be a witness. He didn't call me to determine outcomes. See, you're just a witness. A witness on a stand does not determine the verdict or the judge's reactions or none of that other stuff. I just told you what I saw. What did you feel about what you saw? I didn't feel anything about it. Here's what I saw. He broke the window out, threw a bat inside the house and hit the lady in the head, then dove through the window after he threw the bat, and he beat her with the bat. That's what I saw. I'm just telling you what I saw. That's a witness. You can just be a witness and your emotions don't have to turn on at all. You don't have to get all wrapped up in it and wrapped up in people and going back and forth with people. The Bible tells you the man of God must not strive. So what are you doing striving? You got flesh in you, trying to prove a point, trying to get somebody to see it your way, trying to get somebody to agree with you. Notice how all foreign, illegal, cult environments always try to convince you to join them. They carry energy to try to make you believe what they believe. The gospel never does that. The gospel is presented as generic truth, and you respond to it as you see fit. Best you can do. So what do you feel? I don't feel about anything. See, if you go through the process with God, he will mortify your feelings. And you'll be normal. Don't you know you can't survive down here with your feelings aflame all the time and feeling about everything that comes across the table? Because there are heart-rending things that happen down here that will break your heart. You'll spend most of your time crying, downtrodden and heavily burdened down here if your feelings were paramount in your personality. You can't afford for that to happen. You got to let the Holy Ghost govern your feelings. Let the Holy Ghost govern everything about you, your mind, your feelings, your emotions. Everything has to be governed by the Holy Ghost, and he'll govern them if you give him a body. Romans 12:1 says, present your body as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed. Don't be fashioned. Don't be molded after this world. How does the world mold you? Just like a sculptor uses hands on clay to mold you, You know what the world uses? Words. The world is using words to mold you and to have you think a certain way. They can turn everybody against Donald Trump because of their words. That's why I ignore all that. I don't feel anything negative nor positive about Donald Trump. Nothing. He can't save me. He can't help me. He can't damn me. He's just a guy. Folks are walking around with all these feelings about people because they're in the flesh. They've let the wordsmiths in the world fashion them, and now they feel certain things and think certain things based on the words of the world, the images of the world. I can't stand Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian hadn't done anything to you. You don't even know Kim Kardashian. Why would you not be able to stand her? What's she to you? But it's the images and what the world presents, and it makes you feel some kind of a way about Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian is a sinner needing a savior. That's maximum potential for Kim Kardashian and anybody else, from the White House to the outhouse. Amen. You've got to be a neutrally charged, generic vessel for God to work through you. If you're not like that, he can't use you, because your own personal preferences will impugn your ability to represent him. You won't talk to certain racial groups because you're a racist and you don't like them. I don't like men and I'm a feminist, so I don't save any men. All women are whores to me, so I don't put forth any effort to say anything to any women to save them. You got to get all this stuff expunged. I told you, self is a real complicated, convoluted individual. Self has a billion ways of living, a billion ways of manifesting itself. It's a convoluted, complicated entity that has to be put to death systematically, personally, based on what's in that particular individual. Self is a monster, a hydra-headed monster. That thing got a million heads. You crush one, and next thing you know, another head. Like another head might even grow out the old one to replace it or something. You got to get a dagger put into the heart of self to stop it. If not, it'll keep metamorphosizing, keep changing on you, keep adapting. It's a monster, a hydra-headed dragon, and you can only put a dagger through the heart of self to get rid of it. That's why it said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He's talking about self. Self. So you see now, if you get that sacrificial body on the altar, according to Romans 12:1, and you go through the process of transformation where he says your mind is renewed. So you're changed by the renewing of your mind. You're transformed as your mind is reprogrammed by the word. Then the will of God is mentioned yet next, where he says you approve the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's telling you the process is plain. Give them a body. Don't conform to the environment of the world. Step away from it. Let his word extracting your mind from the world. Now let your mind be interacted with the word of God until my mind is metamorphosized, and I'll then prove the will of God for me, because I'll be a new creation in Christ. See, if you go through the process and stay under the water of the word, it will wash your mind and reprogram it, and you'll finally find out what the will of God is for your life. You know the frustration of being in church not knowing the will of God for yourself? Not able to carry out anything that God has foreordained for you because your mind can't receive it? That's a frustrating way to live. So you see now, this thing is in the body. What's inside your body that has to be put to death? There's an embedded nature inside your body. There's an embedded nature inside your body, and the nature is the nature of the fallen Adamic race. That's what he's after. God knows the fallen Adamic nature is his enemy because of his appetites, lust, and desires. He has to kill that thing to allow Christ to come forth. So in the body that he says to sacrifice, he says put the body on the altar because he's after the nature in the body. He's not after the body, though he wants that nature in the body to be exterminated. So within the confines of that body you sacrifice up is a fallen Adamic nature, which is the enemy of God. What is Adam like in his fallen state? He's rebellious. He's sensual. He's a slave to his lust and passions. Proud. Self-serving. Self-assertive. Self-gratifying. Self-exalting. And just selfish. Just totally selfish. Into himself. All he knows is self. All he loves is self. All he magnifies is self. All he cares about is self. Shares nothing with anybody. All I care about is me, my, and I, and what I can get out of every endeavor. And I don't think about anybody else but me. I evaluate everybody based on what they can do for me. The world revolves around me. That's a dirty deal, man. That's what God is after. He knows a selfish person cannot enter into the kingdom of God because that thing by nature will defile any environment it's in. You ever tried to have a relationship with a selfish person? You talking about frustrating. That's a frustrating endeavor, man. Because it's one way. I love me, and I want you to love me like I love me. Everything flows into me. Nothing flows away from me. If I give you something, it's always with strings attached. Because I'm giving to you to get back. See, a guy like Cruflo Dollar is totally inundated with self. He preaches a selfish message and he makes it God wanting you to give to God. When in fact it's about him building an empire for himself and getting rich. And then tells you my faith did it. And you just gave the money to him over the last 10 years and somebody's able to tell you his faith did it and you gave him the money. If you got so much faith, why are you asking me for a Gulfstream jet? Well, let your faith get it. Why you need to come to us talking about $65 million for a jet? I thought you were a man of faith. I know, and you are my faith. The money in your pocketbook is my faith. Hallelujah. That's why Copeland, the guy that trained Dollar in the game, the pimp game, is worth $760 million. That's crazy. If you got your hands on $2 million, you'd be straight. Well, they say down the hood, straight. I'm straight, man. $2 million and you're straight. $760 million and not giving any of it back? Something is strange around these parts. Trying to be the first billionaire preacher so you got bragging rights. They only care about self, man. They could care less about the people. They don't care if the people go to hell. They don't care if you're destitute. These guys have justified selfishness using a faith message that said God wants them this way. That's another Jesus. That's another gospel and another spirit. This thing is dirty, man. Self can convince you of anything. Anything. But guess what you find? When you teach people selflessness, the crowd gets real thin. It don't make sense, really, does it? You would expect that if you taught a person selflessness and everybody being selfless, the people should say, yeah, I came here to share. I wanted to love the Lord and just help my brother, my fellow man. And praise the Lord. I know this is right. Let me just run to this with everything I got. You know why they don't run to it? Because I can't get nothing out of it. I'd rather hear a guy that's getting rich off of running the scheme and learn the tricks of his trade, how he did it, before I try to come and be selfless and give everything to the Lord and just work for the Lord. I'm trying to go to a motivational seminar led by Tony Robbins or one of these other self-gurus, these self-help gurus, to find out how he did it. You ever see these guys advertising on how to become rich with real estate? Know how they become rich with real estate? by selling you all the books they're going to sell you when you come to learn how to do it. Them jokers ain't making real estate deals. Don't you have the sense to know this about the devil and anybody that serves him? If me and Shonda cook up a way to make $10 million and we found a secret to make $10 million, guess who I ain't telling? I ain't telling none of y'all. Because we gonna milk this thing, girl. Look, we got this thing. Don't tell nobody. Meet me over here at 7 o'clock and we can make some money. And don't even tell Damien. You're not going to have no seminars telling everybody how you got rich. You're going to go and milk that thing for all you worth and don't tell nobody how you did it. So do you know if they're telling you how they did it, then they pushing something else, man. It's the art of the game. Then they stand up like, I want to share this with you, the secret to wealth. And God showed me that I had to share it with all of humanity. That's a lie. That ain't doing that, man. They're not doing that. Just like all these women having these women's seminars in church. They just want the money from hurt women. They don't care nothing about you. They found a niche. You know, if you want to market something, you got to find what?
A niche
market. Hurt, distraught, rejected women is a niche. So the fly girls learn how to be a diva and lead a crusade to make a independent, upwardly mobile, educated woman feel good in the seminar. They found a niche. It's niche marketing. What are you doing that? You brand yourself. So they work on getting their brand. They get a little phrase they use. That's their brand. You know, divas on the move, divas for God. Diamond divas full of the Holy Ghost, whatever. And then they get t-shirts printed up with a diamond on it, Diamond Divas. And everybody come to the seminar in their t-shirt, diamonds with diamonds. They have a march coming in, a procession into the seminar. Now say it out loud. Diamond divas on the move. Diamond divas, feel the groove. They got 3, 4 by 5 steps they do. There's a diamond divas, money in the slot. And you got your money empty up trying to be a diamond diva in God, in the Lord. These jokers think up this stuff at home at night, and they talk, the Holy Ghost showed me this. No, that's the devil. Wait, why are people so cotton picking gullible? The devil can make a fool out of anybody. Based on self. See, even if you're hurt and you want to feel better, the devil will pimp you all day long. He doesn't have to give you nothing. He's pimping your feelings. I want to make you feel accepted, make you feel worth something. Feel good about yourself. And all these niches are being cut out. Now they got the beard club on the internet. Guys with beards. Now you got a bunch of sissies wearing beards and all the women lusting after a guy with a beard. With gray set sweatpants on tight so you can see the print of his penis with no underwear on. That's on the internet now. Gray sweatpants and the beard game. And he's standing there masturbating to get an erection so you can look at the print of his penis and him having a beard on. And with 1 million women in the group. Now what you got right there is a bunch of retarded women. They're retarded. Y'all a bunch of retards. You're flipped out. You're freaked out. You're crazy. You're looking at that homosexual cause it ain't just women looking at it. He's doing that for the homosexual men. The gray sweatpants club and the beard matters of Atlanta and the nation for single women. And all these old hard up thirsty women hanging on some internet site to look at a guy's beard and his penis. Ate up with lust and crazy. Don't have nobody. Not going to get anybody. Just thirsty. Thirsty. Gotta fantasize over the internet. You so thirsty. I'm telling y'all, society is now rock bottom. This is the bottom of the barrel we got. So the way into this to save people, you got to have a strong intestinal fortitude, man. You got to have a strong thing in you to wade into this. Because to save people, now you're saving insane people. You're saving asylum level people. They have lost their mind. They're insane. When you get a girl or a young woman who don't care about being a whore, that she embraces being a whore by nature, it takes God to restore that mind to sanity. That person is insane. Look at the Kardashians. That's a group of insane people led by their mother. And every one of those young girls impacted by their mother with that same insane, whore spirit. Everybody named with a K received the nature of their mother, and it drove them into madness. And every one of them a millionaire now. The youngest one is worth $40 million. That's the 20-year-old. Now, the devil take all that and pile money on top of it. You got the makings of an insane asylum. They could start one up and run one, probably. See, but something I'm trying to tell you, we are rock bottom now. Don't look for it. It's going to go deeper now. It's already hit rock bottom. It's going deeper into depravity. Corruption, when it's set in and taking hold on society, you can't retrieve corruption. It's going to get more and more perverse, more and more filthy. Now the young kids, you know what they're doing now. I walk past them in middle schools and high schools. You get 20 girls in a circle or 15 guys, and they do the D or the P challenge. That's the D for a man's penis and the P for a woman's vagina. And the girl will sit there and she'll tell you what she'll do to get a D. I'll do a split for a D. I'll slap somebody's mama for the D. Anything they call the D challenge. These young people doing this right now. Kim Kardashian came on the internet, dyed her hair blonde, said, I dye my hair blonde for the D. That woman 30-something years old. What's happening? Rock bottom. Scum. Sewer water. Crud. Society has hit rock bottom. We were talking about Double Dutch, Jacks, marbles, hopscotch, the D challenge. And you 12 years old, 13 years old. What you even know about something like that? You know what these girls are going to do in that stuff?
Yep.